across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Good morning and welcome back to Up North News Radio, unabashedly Wisconsin, brought to you by Courier Newsroom and carried by our friends here on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 7:06, and nice to have you along here on this Thursday, August 29th. Coming up this hour, a conversation with our friend Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation Area, the independent news site that he set up and has been extremely well received to the point where Civic Media has now acquired it. And is Dan Schaefer is now the political editor of Civic Media. He's going to keep doing his own thing as well, as he's going to tell us coming up, in about less than 15 minutes from now. It is Thursday, so we do have our Women in Wisconsin segment, powered by our friends at Motherhood for Good. We will be meeting up with Joan Fitzgerald, a candidate for assembly from the Dane and Jefferson County area. And it being Thursday, I believe we will be hearing as well from, the capable, talented, handsome, what is he all again?
The ever-capable, always handsome, Luke Mathers.
Okay. Also talented, capable, and handsome is meteorologist Brittany Merlot, whose connection is, there she is. She was a little dicey there for a sec, but I think she's there. Brittany, good morning.
Oh, good morning. How are you guys doing?
Good, good. You sound great. Better than some of us do. But anyway, here we are. It's not a little gray and dreary. It's a lot of gray and dreary out here, which is not the ideal way to head in toward the long holiday weekend, but maybe something's going to come of it that you want to tell us about?
Oh, yes, there's a lot I want to tell you about. So today is a dark and dreary day. We've got mostly cloudy skies that are going to stick with us pretty much the entire time. Spots of sun are definitely possible, but more northeast parts of the state. So we have a warm front pushing in and a cold front trailing behind it. This is going to be sparking up some strong to potentially severe storms that are going to be packing some heavy, heavy rainfall, especially into western parts of the state. And then also some damaging high winds could come from this as well. So it's going to be a line affecting every single person in the state of Wisconsin. It looks like it's going to hit northwestern parts around 7 o'clock this evening. And as it works its way towards central areas around 9 o'clock or so, it'll be headed towards Madison and the Fox Valley, probably around midnight, and then lingering still into Milwaukee early in the morning. So keep an eye out for that. But behind it, beautiful weather for Labor Day weekend. I'm talking, we're going to see sunshine in abundance. A high pressure sets up, stays here all weekend long and into early next week too. But there is a reinforcing cold front with it. So it is going to be crisp, chilly, fall-like as we go into the weekend.
Which is fine because you've got the Badgers football team starting their season tomorrow. The Packers starting their season next Friday. High school football is underway. So, you know, I guess that little nip in the air, cliche alert, is expected and maybe to many a little bit welcome.
I agree. I'm welcoming it. I'm excited.
All right. Rob says, good morning from Tigerton. It's sunny and 57, another busy day of mowing in Tigerton. Yesterday, when I went to my doctor's appointment in Shawano, I saw an SUV go into the Wolf River at the Highway 29 bridge in Shawano. The driver is okay, thanks to a fisherman who was nearby to get him out of his vehicle. Yesterday, it had that fall look with low clouds. Rob, I believe you're burying the lead here.
He did.
A vehicle went into the river. We don't just sandwich that in the middle someplace. You know,
Yeah, the scary part about that is they didn't find him for a couple of hours. So he was in the car, in the water, with injuries for a couple hours until that fisherman found him. But remote area, yeah.
Well, that could have been a lot worse. Thank goodness Rob is right there with the bulletin. Yeah. let's see. Also, I believe Tony is trying to do what we call stirring the pot here as far as Luke Mathers. Tony writes in, I think the correct pronunciation is Luke BLT Lover Mathers. Just poking the bear over there, Tony, aren't you? Just leave Mr. Bach alone.
It's fine. I mean, you guys can have your adorable opinions. It's fine.
This is not an opinion from Alicia, who says Marinette is cool and sunny currently. So we've got the We've got the wide range of weather here, and we're so thankful to get the forecast from you, Brittany. Have a wonderful day. And since I am off tomorrow, you have a great Labor Day weekend. I'll see you on Tuesday.
Sounds good. You have a wonderful one, too. Bye, guys.
All right. Again, coming up in just a little bit, Dan Schaefer from the recombobulation area is going to join us. So first, a couple of headlines, mostly about the presidential race, and we'll update you on the Brewers winning last night as well. Now, as we know, we've spoken already about how former President Donald Trump is coming to La Crosse tonight. He's going to do some kind of a town hall session is the way that it's being advertised. He is also going to be traveling into Michigan, an afternoon rally near the state capital of Lansing. That will be ahead of his visit to La Crosse. And it's going to be his first visit since the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee, which ended 3 days before President Joe Biden dropped out of the race and made way for Vice President Kamala Harris. Trump is also visiting Pennsylvania on Friday. So, again, everybody's concentrating on, you know, what's been called the blue wall. His running mate, Ohio Senator J.D. Vance, was in De Pere yesterday and was talking about economic issues, as was Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren. They were, both of these senators were in Northeast Wisconsin this week talking about economic issues. And I think that listening to both of them will give you ample opportunity to figure out who's talking about rhetoric and who is actually talking about solutions and a record of achievement. As for Vice President Harris and her running mate, Minnesota Governor Tim Walz, they are going to sit down today for their first major television interview of the presidential campaign as they engage on a bus tour through Southeast Georgia. Georgia was not necessarily a state that was seen to be in play with Joe Biden on the ticket. It was going to be very close, and it looked like Biden was trailing narrowly to Trump. But now with Harris on the ticket, the numbers appear to have flipped, and Harris and Walz are on a bus tour through Georgia trying to shore up the electoral votes that would be necessary there, you know, provided Trump doesn't call the Secretary of State again and ask the Secretary of State to find them, you know, so many votes. CNN's Dana Bash will be conducting the interview today. And I have to laugh. And it shouldn't be funny. It's actually quite stupid that you had some reporters and Republicans who were saying, oh, I can't believe, you know, that Harris and Walz have to sit down together. You know, they need babysitters. They need emotional support to do the interview together, as if that never happens. And people quickly posted photos of the joint interviews that were done with every other set of nominees in the past several elections. It's a tradition that the first interview for a ticket, the first sit-down interview, is done together. And nobody could take just a couple of minutes to think about that or look back before they decided to run off their mouth about it. But that'll be happening later today with CNN. We've since learned, since yesterday's program, that the Trump campaign staff, I'll try not to use any other derogatory words, who abused and got into a physical altercation with an Arlington National Cemetery staffer. The staffer is a woman who is filing a report, but she has declined to press charges because she fears retribution from Trump supporters. Meanwhile, Utah's Republican Governor Spencer Cox has come under criticism for sending a campaign email that featured a photo of him and former President Trump at Arlington National Cemetery during a wreath-laying ceremony. Cox's campaign has apologized for using the photo and for politicizing the graveside ceremony for a Utah sergeant who was one of 13 members killed in an airport bombing in Afghanistan 3 years ago. So it's nice to know that, again, in some places there are still, however you want to put it, morals, rules, standards, as the case may be, that you don't use cemeteries. You don't use the military dead for partisan political purposes. The only one we would expect that from would be one Donald Trump. And that's exactly what he's doing. One more story, and it deals with past elections and Facebook. And look, it's pretty clear. The record is quite clear that a big reason for Donald Trump's surprise win in 2016 was all of the Russian-led disinformation that was put on Facebook and spread by many others. Some willingly, some were essentially used, you know, passing along things that they thought were interesting, but didn't vet to see if it was true or was not true. And then along comes the COVID-19 pandemic. And again, you saw people trying to politicize a pandemic and trying to spread misinformation for their own weird, warped purposes. And there were times when the Biden administration was trying to get social media to basically knock it off, to say, look, don't allow willingly the spread of misinformation. Well, now, Facebook's parent company, Meta, CEO Mark Zuckerberg, says that senior Biden administration officials pressured Facebook to, quote, censor some COVID-19 content during the pandemic, and he vowed that the social media giant would push back if it faced such demands in the future. In a letter to the Republican chair of the House Judiciary Committee, Zuckerberg alleges that officials, quote, repeatedly pressured Facebook for months to take down, quote, certain COVID-19 content, including humor and satire, end quote. No, you don't get away with saying, oh, it was just humor and it was just satire. No, it was misinformation. It was the kind of information that got people killed, because they believed somebody's lies or somebody's conspiracy. They didn't get the treatment or the vaccinations that they needed because of your willingness to allow misinformation to spread. You are not, Mr. Zuckerberg, Facebook, all the others, you're not just platforms. You don't get to throw your hands up and say, well, we just set it up. What people say on it is up to them. No, we have to stop people here from spreading misinformation. We know how to hang up the phone. We know how to cut off microphones. If you can't figure that out, how to do that on your platforms, well, then you should think about another line of work. Because otherwise, you're just allowing misinformation to spread and for people to be harmed and for our democracy to be harmed as well. Brewers were winners over the Giants 5-3. They'll play again this afternoon. Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation area is up next to tell us about his new partnership with Civic Media. Wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this Thursday morning, when you're here, you're up north, live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network. Back. It is 7:20 on this Thursday morning on Up North News Radio, and here we are visiting with the newest addition to Civic Media. That would be Dan Schaefer, their new political editor. You know him better, of course, from the Recombobulation area. It's a Wisconsin media marriage made in heaven. Dan Schaefer, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Pat. Thank you so much for having me. Happy to be here and happy to be part of the Civic Media Network.
It has been, and I've mentioned this on the show a couple of times here, it's been such a change these past few years, where it was, well, just every so often somebody's going to write a blog, or somebody's going to put up a few Twitter posts, or they're going to try to podcast on their own. But now, between Courier Newsroom and Up North News and Civic Media and what you're doing, and you know, many other people have tried, and it hasn't quite worked out. It has really worked out that you and Civic Media are coming together like this. But let's put you on the pedestal first. To what do you owe the success of the Recombobulation area, other than having the single coolest name in Wisconsin media?
Well, I know if I get everything else wrong with this project, I got the name right. It is named after the famous post security area at the Milwaukee airport, where you take a moment, gather your things, you know, put your shoes back on, and then make it to your destination. And I always thought that would be, it's a word I always loved as a Milwaukeean, and I thought it would make a great name for a political opinion column, because we have this discombobulating politics in the state of Wisconsin. And, you know, if we need to take a moment, take a beat, to really make sense of everything. And so that's what I have aimed to do with the recombobulation area. And now we're going to be doing that with all of you fine folks at Civic Media in this really exciting new chapter for the publication. You can still, you know, subscribe and support our work at the Recombobulation Area Publishing on Substack. But there's going to be a whole lot more for us to do and work together on in this new role going forward. So I'm just so excited. And like you said, it's a, you know, it's a great fit. It's a hand in glove type of fit with the Recombobulation Area and Civic Media, because I think our missions are so aligned, both wanting to have pro-democracy, locally focused media. And that's what I've been doing, you know, in and around Milwaukee and in some of the statewide work I do as well. So I'm just thrilled at this opportunity and thrilled to be working with good folks like you, Mr. Kreitlow.
Oh, thank you. What was the path that led to the Recombobulation Area for folks that don't know or haven't caught some of your other guest appearances? You know, born and raised, went to school, cool jobs along the way.
Yeah, sure. So I am from born in Milwaukee, raised in Waukesha County. Sometimes people are a little surprised that I am from Waukesha County and have ended up on a little bit different political side of the spectrum from many of the other folks there. You know, that is, of course, changing now as well. But I'm from Waukesha County, went to college at UW-Oshkosh, and that's where I got my start in journalism. I was a political science major there. And kind of happened into a really great situation, writing opinion columns for the student newspaper there, the UW-Oshkosh Advance Titan. And that is kind of part of the origin for the Recombobulation Area as well. You know, being a graduating in journalism in 2008 was not exactly the best timing for that. But ended up working in a number of different places. I was a reporter and editor for much of the past, you know, 15 years in and around Milwaukee. I was at Biz Times Milwaukee, Milwaukee Magazine, Milwaukee Business Journal. And I knew I always wanted to, at some point, get back to writing with a perspective, writing with a voice, writing opinion columns, you know, and I started the Recombobulation Area as a part-time effort while I was a stay-at-home dad with my daughter, in late 2019, and really wanted to get back to writing with a perspective, writing with a voice. And the Substack thing was kind of starting to gain a foothold around then. So I started that. And then, you know, of course, 2020 happens and I'm really a stay-at-home dad. And then was able to just, you know, find ways to connect with readers and grow the publication from there. Made the decision in 2022 to go full time with the effort and make it my full time job and an LLC and a small business and everything else, and have grown it in the couple of years since then, and now ready to start this very exciting new chapter for the Recombobulation Area as part of Civic Media and to become the political editor at Civic Media. And what a time to do it with, not that there's anything going on in the Wisconsin
here in
late August 2024.
So very quiet around here. So if somebody were to ask about the secret to your success, it's that it's one thing to be able to write. It's one thing to be able to report. It's one thing to be able to do those things with perspective. But you have to be able to combine them all. And you have shown that you also, you don't just have hot takes. You actually do the research. I mean, exhaustive research, like every single assembly and Senate district, for example, you know, one by one by one, to inform people about the race and what it's like. And again, I'm kind of asking you to brag about yourself, but only from the standpoint of, again, it's one thing to fire off a tweet. It's another to actually fact check things and then have an informed take.
Yeah, I think, I really do think in-depth work is really important. Some people might, there would be one approach, I think, for this type of media where I could, you know, fire off, like you said, the hot takes on Twitter, or, you know, really get, you know, glom on to any just kind of shiny object that might be out there. But instead of that, I really like to take a bigger picture view, and really kind of take that 30,000 foot level view of what's happening. And like you said, preview series that I've done on the Wisconsin State Legislature is something that has really resonated with people. And I will be doing it again this year as part of this new role, where I will be previewing the election for every last race on the ballot in the Wisconsin State Legislature. It's going to be very exciting to do that this year under new maps, because when I would do those in previous, you know, incarnations of it, it would be, you know, how far can Democrats chip into the Republican majority? And this year, you know, I actually just had a conversation last week with Democratic Assembly Leader Greta Neubauer when I was down at the DNC in Chicago, and she predicted that Democrats would be able to flip the assembly. So I'm really excited to really dig into the weeds and take a look at which races are going to matter. And I think that local focus is something that I've tried to do at the Recombobulation area. And I think it's obviously something that you all do at here at Civic Media as well. So I think it's going to be a really, really great way to complement, you know, each other's work going forward here too.
And folks will still be able to find you, you said, through Substack yet and on social media?
Yeah, absolutely. I'll still be, of course, tweeting at Dan R. Schaefer, and you can support the work that we do at the Recombobulation area by becoming a paid subscriber as well. And that those subscriptions will continue to go to supporting our efforts at the publication too.
Wonderful. Well, Dan, it's great news. Looking forward to checking with you from time to time on this. Yeah, like you said, very quiet, peaceful election season. I'm sure we'll find something else to talk about. But thanks for the visit, Dan. We appreciate it so much.
Thanks so much for having me. Looking forward to recombobulating with you many times in the future here.
As are we. Our Women Win Wisconsin segment, powered by Motherhood for Good, is next here up north. I know you're expecting Beyonce, and for months before that, you know, you were expecting to hear The Chicks. Just want you to know, we can shake things up. We can put Keb Mo on there as well as part of our Women Win Wednesday segment, powered by our friends at Motherhood for Good. Kate Duffy and Danielle Scampini-Lynn are all here with their special guest, Assembly candidate Joan Fitzgerald. Kate, Danielle, how are you?
Good. Good morning. How are you?
Well, good. It was so great to see you at the Democratic Convention. Did you have a nice time?
I did have a nice time. It was such a whirlwind. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you thought the same, just like running from place to place. Yes. So many hours a day, 5 days in a 4 days in a row. But it was always so nice when I saw a friendly face. And Pat, we've been doing this for like a year now, and I have never met you in real life. So that was nice.
I know. It was really nice. We did a quick little interview. You and Kristen Bry were just, I mean, hustling. You were all over, just taking lots of little short videos. Oh, and by the way, and it has not gone unnoticed by the listeners, Tony puts up on YouTube, hey, that's JLD's friend, meaning Julia Louis-Dreyfus. how did you find your new bestie in the Seinfeld actress?
So she actually, the amazing thing about Julia Louis-Dreyfus is she loves being a champion of down ballot races and helping impact different races that are important, different states, which is so awesome. And so we got connected to her last year during the Supreme Court race here in Wisconsin and did like a collaboration video back then, which was already like awesome. And then I had stayed in touch with her strategist that kind of helps with the different types of things that she lends her voice to. And he said he was going to be there. We were going to try to meet up, and it worked out. So we were able to meet up with her and did a little interview. And it was just, I mean, so awesome. She's very, very cool in real life.
It looked very cool. And you can see all that on the Motherhood for Good Instagram page. And Danielle, there's much more to Motherhood for Good than, you know, celebrity sightings. You guys are getting some work done. If you have something coming up in the Milwaukee area.
We do. For anyone who's going to be around for the holiday weekend this weekend, we are doing a decorate your own yard sign pop-up event at the Little Village Play Cafe in Wauwatosa. We're going to be set up with, you know, we'll have all the art supplies and the signs ready. But, you know, if maybe you're waiting for your, you know, Harris Walls sign to come and you just want to get something in your yard or you need a fun activity for the kids this weekend, it's going to be a really great time. They are super cute. I know my kids did one that we've got out in our yard and it's going to be a lot of fun. So yeah, come on down to the Little Village Play Cafe if you are around.
And at motherhoodforgood.com, there is a merch store, and I promise there is a merch order coming. I passed it along to my daughters. They want to order something, then Sherry did. Now they wanted to pass it on to their cousins or friends. So I think you might need a bigger warehouse by the time this is all said and done. So that's all the business for Motherhood for Good, but the work goes on to recognize women running for office across Wisconsin. Kate, do you want to take that to introduce our guest?
Yes, that brings us to our guest. We're so excited to talk to you. We have Joan Fitzgerald here, who is running for assembly. And Joan, I'm excited to talk to you. I know you are a former public school teacher, and I believe served on the Jefferson County Board as well. My mother is a public school teacher, so if you're anything like her, I know you already have a leg up because she knows everybody in our community, and I'm assuming every door you knock on, you probably have a pretty good chance of knowing all the people. So thank you for joining us this morning. Tell us a little bit about yourself and why you're running.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys for having me here today. It's a great opportunity to, you know, kind of reach out and chat a little bit. So yeah, you mentioned I'm a public school teacher, was a public school teacher on the county board. I'm really running for assembly now because I want to bring some common sense, some collaboration, and responsive representation for this area. I think if we listen to voters, I hear that from people at doors all the time. They just want someone who will listen to them, bring their issues to the Capitol. It's really exciting with new maps this year. This district has changed quite a bit. So people are really thrilled that they're going to have a Democratic representative this year. We already have a Democratic state senator elected. So people are really excited, and I'm thrilled to get to Madison, work with other Assembly Democrats, and, you know, get some stuff done.
Yeah. And speaking of those new maps, can you let us know what area exactly you are running to represent? Like what area, what cities or townships or whatever that is?
Yep. The new 46th district is the western half of Jefferson County and the eastern half of Dane County. So it's a lot of that rural area east of Madison. The prior district 46 was geographically much smaller and closer to Madison. So for a lot of people in this new district from Fort Atkinson, Cambridge, Lake Mills, if you're familiar with that area, Deerfield, Marshall, Waterloo, all of those cities, we've had Republican representation for a while. So people are pretty excited about what's happening with new maps this year. It's pretty exciting to be out talking to people.
Yeah. And are there any like unique things about that area that you think are important for people to know? That's what I'm finding when we talk to more and more people from all over the state. Obviously, we're all like Wisconsinites and we share so many things, but also there's just like really unique nuances in different areas. Is there anything that stands out to you about the district you're running in?
I think what's interesting and is kind of the change that's happening, and it's happening in a lot of places, you know, as Madison grows, a lot of those people are moving out into our district. So some of the cities nearest to Madison are experiencing some of that growth. It's also changing the politics a little bit in this district as people from Madison move out into the more rural areas. So I think there's a little bit of a struggle between maintaining the rural area, which we all love in this area, and how to deal with the growth that's coming from Madison and from Milwaukee also. I mean, this is the, you know, 94 corridor stretches right through this area. And that's kind of a concern with people. I mean, they're excited about growth, but it brings challenges.
Well, sure. But also as that changes the demographic of what was previously rural area, it was going to change some of the politics anyway, but now you add the issue of reproductive rights and the Dobbs decision, and now you have more rural voters, especially women who had traditionally voted Republican, they're not becoming Democrats necessarily, but they are much more, shall we say, in play than they used to be before Dobbs. Is that what you're hearing out in that district?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. When I'm at doors chatting with voters, you know, asking them what's an issue important to you. And that is almost always the first thing they tell me. People are really, really concerned that, you know, their daughters, their granddaughters have less rights than they do. And you're right, that cuts across demographics, politics, age, all over the spectrum. That's an incredibly important issue here. Indeed.
And speaking of, you know, issues that don't necessarily fall directly in the Republican or Democrat or red or blue camps, you know, you're a former public school teacher. What are you hearing about public education in your district? And what do people want to see happen there?
I think, you know, like most areas of the state, the public schools in this area have had to go to referendum, which mm-hmm. is a horrible way of funding public schools. I think they're all concerned about that. And really, the amount of public money being spent on private, mostly religious schools in this area is not something that sits well with most voters. We all recognize, and you know, you're right, regardless of political affiliation, public schools are important. And they're important to these small rural communities. They're often community centers in the heart of a community. So hearing from a lot of voters that they'd love to get some change in how we're funding public schools. And honestly, as a teacher, I think, you know, I've seen the slow erosion of support for public schools over the years, starting with Tommy Thompson through Scott Walker, right up to today's Republican legislator. So I think we need to change something there. That's for sure.
And I think I saw on your website that you were a like algebra, geometry, AP calculus teacher. Is that right?
That is correct. Oh, I did it all.
Guys, I feel like that's all you need to know right here. Like she can teach AP Calc. I think she can probably run some circles around some people in the legislature and get some stuff done.
Well, and you know, the other night when Tim Walz was speaking at the DNC, my daughter texted me and she said, OMG, Mom, you have to use that as a quote. And I don't know if you remember, he said, never underestimate a public school teacher. So I agree. I agree with our future vice president.
Amen.
I love that. And I love that we're seeing at the very top of the ticket, just like normal Americans and stuff that people can see themselves in. And in Wisconsin, you know, that's always been the case. And it definitely is going to be the case this year, especially. And for folks who are listening, I know we all worked so hard to get Judge Prozewitz elected so we could get these fair maps. And now we have them. And that was all the foundational work for this moment, for these new maps and for these new seats, and to be able to flip enough seats that we can hopefully flip the assembly. So Joan, just tell us a little bit about what that would mean if you could win your race and we could pick up enough seats that we could have a Democratic majority in the assembly.
Oh my gosh. It's so important, right? I mean, right now nothing gets done. Wisconsin is so unproductive that if we can get Democrats elected, take control of the assembly, think of the wonderful things we can do. And honestly, the policies that we support are supported by the majority of Wisconsinites, doing something on reproductive rights, doing something for our public schools. I think people want things done for gun violence prevention, more resources on mental health, legalizing marijuana. There are so many issues that are important to the people of this state. And if we can elect Democrats up and down the ballot, we have such a chance to get some really wonderful, great things done for the people of this state.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned gun violence prevention is such, much like we talked about reproductive rights earlier, just classic cases of things that are not partisan. You know, people do not want their children endangered at school, or their teachers, or anybody else for that matter. And it does feel like you can now talk to more voters who no longer feel like intimidated because they lived in such a gerrymandered Republican district. And so you've got those folks coming out, but I also wonder with Kamala Harris now at the top of the ticket, if you think that that is also driving enthusiasm and perhaps voter turnout for more young people in the 46th Assembly District.
Oh gosh, yes. And you know, when you think about issues that are important to young people, reproductive rights, gun violence by far is something that they've lived with in their school systems and universities, that, you know, they see that as an issue that is common sense. And you're right, with Kamala Harris at the top of the ticket, we now have gun sense candidates all the way through. And I'm really hopeful that we'll be able to move forward some legislation in the upcoming session. People support universal background checks. They support, you know, extra money being spent to encourage safe gun storage. I also think we've come to a point where we recognize that there are things we can do that don't infringe on gun owners' rights, that just keep our community safe. And that's what I would support. And I think young people by and large also support those measures.
I think that's such a good point. And you mentioned safe storage. And I just want people who are listening to know there is multiple bills out there right now that can't get a hearing, but one of them is safe storage, which has no impact on your Second Amendment rights whatsoever and is a proven way to save lives. And Republicans won't even discuss it. It cannot even get a hearing. So when Joan talks about the fact that nothing is getting done in the state legislature right now, that is a wonderful example of that.
That's a great example. Yep. Gavel in and gavel out. It has to stop. We have to have conversations.
Oh yeah.
That's the most important
absolutely.
Part.
It's a kind of arrogance that just needs to finally be stopped. As Tony writes in from Ashland on YouTube, if only Wisconsin residents agreed with that platform. Oh, wait, they absolutely do. Colleen writes in that the math ain't mathin' in the assembly right now. So I guess all the more reason to put the math teacher in there. And so for folks that would like a little bit more information, the website is Joan Fitzgerald for Assembly, and that's F-O-R, Joan Fitzgerald for Assembly.com. Joan Fitzgerald for Assembly on Facebook as well. Joan, thank you very much for the introduction to your district, to your candidacy. We wish you all the best. Stay in touch.
Thank you. It's been great chatting with you. Have a great day.
Yeah, we've really enjoyed it. Danielle, Kate, thanks so much for everything. Head over to Motherhood for Good on Instagram or the website to learn more. You guys have a great Labor Day weekend.
Thanks, you too.
All right.
Thanks, Pat.
We will see you later. And then Luke Mathers is coming up next. You're up north. Seems like such a good entrance song for Luke Mathers, but I haven't seen him yet.
Uh-oh.
Which is weird because he was giving Todd Alba a hard time yesterday about being tardy to the show here. Do people just not want to talk to us anymore, Greg?
What did I... Is it... Maybe it's the BLT comment.
Oh, no. Luke says he was emailed the wrong link here, so I'm...
Here, I'll send it to him right now.
Right now. All right. And then I'm going to go back and look at that email because I feel like everybody else got in here just fine this week. But
Brittany had problems with the link today, too.
Okay.
So I'm blaming technology.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, I'm blaming me. You know, when you copy and paste, I just thought I copied and pasted everywhere. Oh, hey, here's Luke now. We can stop talking about him. Mr. Mathers, how are you?
I'm doing well, Pat. You threw me for a loop here. I thought this was a test or something, and you didn't really want me to join you.
Like, aren't we all good at playing the victim here? You don't want to talk to me. Oh, here we are. We made it.
I was like, why is it saying this link already ended? What? Okay.
Yeah,
we got here. How you doing?
We did. And it's all good. Doing great. I mean, look, it was just such a crazy busy convention week for everybody, you know, whether you were in Chicago or trying to help matters. It's nice to not have things quite so... Oh, wait, they are still busy. Trump's in lacrosse tonight. Tim Walz is coming to Milwaukee Labor Fest for Labor Day. J.D. Vance was in the state yesterday. President Biden is coming to Wisconsin next week, so no rest for the weary.
Nope, none at all. And on top of that, we have our first joint interview for the Democratic ticket here in 2024 since it became... Harris Walz. So that's going to be interesting tonight as well. There's no rest for the wicked.
Are you listening, no. Haters who call in all the time saying, well, how come she hasn't done an interview yet? Here we go. We did it.
Well, and you can listen to all the coverage. We're going to have special coverage tonight across the Civic Media Radio Network from 6 p.m. until 10 p.m. We're going to be broadcasting that Trump Town Hall in La Crosse, since it is in our listening area of WLCX. And we'll be bringing our listeners the opportunity to tune in to that first joint interview on CNN for the Harris Walz ticket. So it's going to be an exciting night here around Civic Media.
Yeah. Wow. Somewhere along the line, we also do our regular shows. Mm-hmm. And I was chatting with Greg about that earlier, about how the weekend schedule was shaken up some time back. It's not what it used to be, where it was a lot of the weekday shows where best of shows were played. Now it's more of an introduction to some of the later evening shows and some of the special shows. But you can still hear, you know, like the our best of Up North News Radio. You can hear that in podcast form, you know, if you're a subscriber. We have not talked about the Kripescast or other weekend shows for a long time, except for Jim Santel, of course. We've got him on every Friday talking about his Saturday show. But there's so much more to the weekends.
Yeah, there's a lot going on across the radio network. So, yeah, you want to check out the newest lineup, head over to civicmedia.us/shows. You can see all of the weekend programming there. It's an excellent lineup. We've got Raised in Wisco with Joel Clayfish. We've got excellent shows like Rational Revolution, which is hosted by Mark Becker, does a tremendous job of having rational conversations with all members of the political spectrum. So Democrat, Republican, and everybody in between. Very excellent program. We've got some regional shows as well that are popping up. The New Wisco Weekend is a magazine show done by our team up in northeastern Wisconsin. So the folks in Green Bay and Oshkosh, all throughout the Fox Valley, doing tremendous work in that program as well. So there's no shortage of programming here across the Civic Media Radio Network. You want to go check out the website and stay up to date with all of the new shows that are popping up. Yeah. As Tony likes to say here on the YouTube feed, too, we got the high school sports show. Last night was the second edition of that for WXCO on Bull Falls Radio with Chad Holmes. So excellent time all around the network. No shortage of programming.
And how do you like Chad's hot take from our visit Tuesday? He is no fan of the Badgers opening on Friday night and the Packers opening next Friday night, encroaching on his turf, quite literally, that Fridays should be for high school football. Now, we're going to air Badgers, Packers, and everything else, but what do you make of the whole Friday night, encroachment?
Yeah, it's one of those things where the NFL seems like it's going to try to get as many days out of the week that it can possibly get. It's been this way for a little while for college football now, too. I am surprised that you're seeing this. It's all about the money, Pat, and that's what it comes down to. These high school sports are unfortunately getting a little encroached in their zone, because both the NFL and the NCAA, they know there's money to be had out in broadcast, so they want to go and take up as many evenings as they possibly can. And if I was in Chad's shoes, I'd be pretty upset too.
Well, he's still going to keep working it anyway. Ardith writes on Facebook, please tell Luke I love the Sunday morning Music of the Stars program.
Yeah, Lou Regani doing an excellent job as well with some of those big bands and just a wide range of music from 7 a.m. until noon. You can catch that as well across the network.
Can I say as well, and I'm definitely stirring the pot here, but if folks could see behind the scenes that once a week, I'm not going to give the where and when, but there is a Zoom with like everybody from Civic Media on there, which at times is just hilarious. But I almost think that would be worth a show in itself, is if you got, if not the whole staff, then at least the host and the producers, and just see if they could actually pull off, you know, a big old call with a couple dozen people and make it work. Because the excerpts would be funny. Whether it would work as the standalone, I don't know, but I'm just spitballing it here. Luke, think about it.
You know? Pat, what are you doing? What are you doing?
I'm trained to say there's no bad ideas in a brainstorm, but I don't know if I love that idea.
I don't think Luke's ever shot me down before quite so quickly, but that's all right. I appreciate it. What are you doing for the holiday weekend besides killing people's dreams?
Yeah. Okay. That was a dream. All right. It was a quick idea, spitball, but then all of a sudden a dream. Spending some time. Door County is always a Labor Day location for us as a family. So gonna be up in Door County for a few days, and then you know, like you said, we've got Walls in Milwaukee on Monday, and then we've got a whole another week of surrogates coming, including the President of the United States here to Wisconsin. So it's going to be just preparing for another busy week. Maybe I'll find some sustenance and a good BLT along the way. Who knows?
I hope that you do. I hope that it's a really enjoyable weekend. And look, I've got support here. Alicia says, I would love that idea. And Earl would be there, and Earl would say, come on, man. I want you to think about this, Luke. I want you to give it your
I think you thought. I think you thought about it.
Sure, Pat. I'll think about it a little bit more this weekend.
No, get out of here. Greg is back for Matt and Air on Air coming up at 10. Thank you, sir. Have a wonderful weekend.
You as
both
well.
Of you. Thank you for being here. Thanks to our guests, Joan Fitzgerald, Danielle Scampini, Lynn, Kate Duffy, Joseph Pecky. It's just wonderful to have you all here again. A special show tomorrow, Wisconsin Voices from the Democratic National Convention. I will be back for live shows Tuesday morning at 6 a.m. Have a wonderful Labor Day weekend and stay safe. Enjoy, and we'll make the sprint to Election Day after that. Take care.